Up next, the news you can use from YAA.
It's your 30-minute fix for all your car questions,
industry news, and tips you can use when buying your next vehicle.
We're your hosts, Ray and Zach Shevska, the founders of YAA.
We're here every weekday, live at noon Eastern. Check us out at joinyaa.com. Come on, get in! It's noon here in Ventnor, New Jersey, on the east coast of the great United States of America, and this is news that you can use from YAA with your hosts, Zach and Ray. Zach, how are things in, Bethesda? Is that champagne or some other type of bubbles behind you?
It's a bubble, and it appears to have potentially, what's the word, burst? Is that the word?
It is when you're bubble boy.
Man, what's going on with your voice?
I don't know. I think I need more coffee.
Dad, you sound so bad. Okay, we are going to jump right in. You good, man? You good?
A little phlegm. You know, you get my age, you get a little phlegm. What can I tell you?
Oh, man. Oh, man. All right, here we go, guys. Let's jump right in. Black Book released their market update today, and it is a doozy, Dad. I'll read what Black Book had to say, and then let's give our interpretation. The market experienced a significant decline last week, reminiscent of the declines experienced during Q3 of last year, and the declines felt at the start of the pandemic. Auction lane conversion rates showed some slight improvement last week as sellers have adjusted their floors to reflect weakening consumer demand. The headline here pops: wholesale used car prices dropped nearly 1% week over week, 0.86%, car segment down 0.91%, and the truck and SUV segment down 0.84%, nearly double last week's decline.
Yes, and when you combine it with last week's decline and a similar decline the week before, it just in the past 2 weeks, used car wholesale values have dropped close to 2 percentage points. And
3 weeks, yes.
And I know there's a lot of people out there go, oh, it's only 2%. Okay, would you prefer that they had gone up 2%? A 2% decline over a three-week period of time is somewhat significant in the used car wholesale market.
Especially, Dad, when you track it as much as we do and you know what happens week over week. This is not like errors in the data calculation or anything. I mean, we literally track this week over week over week. This is the biggest decline, like they said, since Q3 of last year. This is very significant. This is why I have the bubble bursting behind me.
Yeah, I would almost suggest. Okay, I will suggest. I think we're entering correction territory on wholesale used car pricing. And we know that retail pricing lags several weeks behind. We started seeing this 3 weeks ago, and we said wait 4 to 6 weeks for people to buy cars. If they could wait longer, that would be even better. When it comes to buying pre-owned cars. But I think this just confirms what our initial thoughts were 3 weeks ago. And I don't think we're that far away from seeing dealers become much more willing to negotiate the selling prices of their pre-owned inventory, because they really can't afford to just sit on it, hoping that if they were to take it to the sale, they would minimize their losses. As they can see, if they hold it much longer, they will be maximizing their losses if they were to take it to the sale.
Pops, I see Space is here with us, and I see Phil is here with us. Phil and Space, and I think Justice is likely here too. And Justice, yep, there you are. Justice, thanks for being here with us. Those three gentlemen are three of the experts on our team. When you become a YAA member, you get access to get help from them as you do navigate buying a car or selling a car or anything related to your car. My question to the three of you that are here, Phil, Space, and Justice, have you seen more negotiability amongst used car deals that you're helping our members negotiate? And for point of reference, can you compare that to where we were a few months back? Wait to hear from them. We've got Igor Dad in the chat saying, hello, YAA community. Wholesale prices have been dropping and they will continue to drop. Banks are tightening their lending policies and that will impact retail prices too. Dad, interestingly here, Black Book chose the words weakening consumer demand. We have not seen Black Book pick up yet or mention anything with regards to increased repossessions and the increased supply of vehicles. I mean, when we start to, I'm going to pull it up on the screen right now. Let's start to look at it. the breakdown by type of vehicle. Mm-hmm. If you have a big increase, Dad, in, I don't know, repossessed luxury cars over the next 6 months, you're going to continue to see used car prices on the wholesale and retail market continue to go down. I think what we're seeing right now is simply a function of weakening consumer demand. And that, Dad, that is even more obvious when you see that subcompact cars only drop 0.2 of a point. Why? Mm-hmm. Because people, there's still incredible demand for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 cars. That's where we're seeing the prices decline the least, right?
Absolutely. And there will always be demand for those more affordable pre-owned cars. The demand for the more expensive pre-owned cars is weakening. And it's weakening because of any number of factors, including and not limited to inflation. The cost of financing these vehicles is going up. And people are a little more concerned about how they spend their money. So, yes, there is a weakening of demand from consumers out there because they don't feel as confident moving forward as to what the economy is going to spell out for them. So, that's significant phrasing from Black Book that they don't just throw that around lack of consumer confidence. They don't throw that phrase around willy-nilly. There's
Pops,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm obviously, and we both are, but on LinkedIn, I'm connected to the team over at Black Book, and they never promote their reports on LinkedIn. Today, I was just on LinkedIn before we hopped on, and it was from Jared, the president of Black Book, and he was saying, you know, you may not read our data every week, but you should check out this one. This one seems interesting. I was like, yes. Like, what bigger indication do we need that they're saying, okay, something's going on in the market? Here we go from Justice. Yes, tons of negotiability on luxury and non-hybrid vehicles, especially compared to the take it or leave it of last year, and easier to not have stupid packages added. Phil in the chat saying, yes, not only can you negotiate, the dealers are reducing prices without negotiations. Again, Justice, Phil, space on our team. If you become a YAA member, they can help you navigate your car deal. Jake says here, Dad, so plug-in hybrids will still be pricey. That is what I'm in the market for. Yes. Plug-in hybrids, electric vehicles, and again, more cheaper vehicles, more affordable vehicles will likely retain their value better than, and I'm going to pull it up on the screen here in a second, a Lincoln Navigator. Like, Lincoln Navigators are about to become very, I'm using air quotes for everyone that listens to the podcast, very cheap compared to their peers, like a, I don't know, like an Ioniq 5 or a Toyota Prius Prime, something like that.
The amount of decline in the value of a Lincoln Navigator will be astronomical when compared to if there is any decline in the hybrid sector.
100%. Let's look at it, Dad. Let's pull the numbers up. You can see here, these are the declines week over week of trucks and SUVs. Of note, full-size luxury crossovers and SUVs lost nearly $1,000 of value at the wholesale auctions last week, $1,000, $858 week over week. And we also saw precipitous declines against subcompact luxury crossovers as well. Dad, it seems like if the bubble has burst anywhere, it's for those luxury cars, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And those luxury cars that are not particularly fuel efficient. Because even though gas prices have declined for like 47 or 48 straight days, the average is still in excess of $4 a gallon. Yeah, it's great. It's less than when it was $5 a gallon, but that still is a tremendous increase in the cost to get gasoline for vehicles. So your less fuel efficient, bigger vehicles are just going to become less desirable. Hence, almost $1,000 drop in value in 1 week for those large luxury SUVs. That's significant because I believe the week before that number was about $500 some. So they've lost $1,400 in value in 2 weeks. So if you're a dealer and you have a half a dozen of those sitting on your lot, are you A, going to reduce the asking retail price, perhaps, B, are you going to be willing to negotiate whatever your retail asking price is? If you have a customer come in and express a desire for that vehicle. And C, would you even consider taking it to the sale because of the amount of money that you're about to lose? These are things dealers have to think of, and I'm going to get a sip.
But the thing is that the coffee, you put a lot of cream in the coffee, right?
I do. Which see the helps cream, promote the cream. Phlegm.
Thank you. So maybe during the shows, this is just an ask. This is an ask from your son, not even from the audience. Maybe during the shows, you drink some agua.
Drink
you
know? Water.
See, drink Dad, water see?
Instead of coffee, yes.
You know, maybe. All right, we've got Igor in the chat here. Most of dealer inventory that was bought by dealerships just 60 to 90 days ago is already depreciated and made dealerships on that inventory upside down. Dealers are eager to retail it, then auction it 100%. But then you have a question like this or a comment like this from Cyrus. I've been following prices for a Porsche Macan GTS at CarMax, and their prices have not changed since February. How long does CarMax hold on to their pricing? Interestingly, with CarMax, they're going to have a national footprint. They'll be happy to sell that car anywhere nationwide. So I'm not surprised that they're going to hold more firm on their pricing. But I bet you if you wait another couple of weeks, you'll start to see prices go down.
And if I may for a second, Zach, a Macan GTS, you know, that's a fairly limited volume vehicle to begin with. So you're really talking a specialized vehicle like that. That's not the same as, say, a Lincoln Navigator or a big Ford Explorer. They're not the same.
True.
Yes, there's a desirability for the Macan, but it's a much smaller limited market for that vehicle.
100%. Very true. Happy Hippo here, Pops. If I were to trade in a car towards the end of the year, what percentage do you think the depreciation would be? And this is actually, let's hit on this really quickly. When we see wholesale used car prices decline, the retail prices for cars being sold does not decline. You know what does decline instantly or the day before even? Trade-in values.
Yeah.
Because these dealerships don't want to be upside down on inventory. No one does. And so, Happy Hippo, if we were to continue to see, and let's pull it back up on the screen. Give me 1 second here. I'll share the screen with everyone. If we were to simply see, I don't know, between now and the end of the year, Dad, continued half point declines, or even let's go back to 2017 to 2019 averages, quarter point declines in value week over week. I mean, you'd be looking at some, I don't know, let's say 4 or 5, I'd say anywhere from 5 to 10% depreciation in a vehicle between now and then they're on the wholesale market. So likely then as a trade-in value, maybe 10 to 15% less than what it's currently worth right now. That's my back of the envelope math, but that's what I would expect
if I was selling a car today versus end of the year. As we have said over and over and over again, your car is worth more today than it will be tomorrow. I can guarantee that in most cases. Will there be outliers? Absolutely. But for the vast majority of cars, 95, 98% of the vehicles out there, your car is worth more today if you were to sell it or trade it in than it will be tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. Dealers monitor this stuff. They know what's going on. If they use VAuto as an appraisal tool, they look at MMR every day so that they know what vehicles are bringing on average at the auction. They know this. They live by this. Dealers seeing those precipitous declines in values are thinking to themselves, we need to make adjustments on pricing or at least negotiate on the pricing with a retail customer, because at least with a retail customer, we have the opportunity to pick up some back-end money in the finance office that we certainly wouldn't be able to pick up if we just wholesaled the vehicle at the auction. So dealers are tracking this. They know this. They know what's about to happen. All we're doing is sharing it with everybody else. So as a consumer, you can plan accordingly.
And let's talk a little bit, Dad, about another factor, which is going to be how long vehicles are sitting on lots and also interest rates, because the two go hand in hand. This is a chart that demonstrates for you retail used car days to turn, how long it takes for a used car to sit on a dealer's lot and ultimately be sold. We were just a few months ago down at 34 days. So the average used car sat on a lot for 34 days. That means the dealer was paying 34 days worth of finance charges on that vehicle. We are up to 44 days. Okay, that is a 33% increase in just a few weeks. So what we're seeing here, Dad, is an increase in the cost associated with actually holding on to this used inventory. And then we're looking at V-Auto every single day, right? We're essentially looking at our portfolio, our vehicles that we have on the lot, and we're realizing, oh, we can't turn around and sell this for as much as we bought it for. I guess we should turn around and sell it to a retail customer, because at least then we can try and make money on the financing, on the extended warranty, on the gap insurance, et cetera, et cetera. This is why. These are the two factors converging. This is why used cars are negotiable again. Fortunately, they're negotiable again.
There is nothing worse for a car dealer than to know that the value of their used car inventory is worth considerably less than what they paid for it. Okay? A customer doesn't like to be underwater. Trust me, car dealers hate it more than anybody. You know, you could have several million dollars worth of used car inventory and be staring, if you had to liquidate all that, if you had $3 million worth of used car inventory, you might be looking at, I don't know, getting $2.2 million for it, or $2.5 million. You're looking at substantial monetary losses if you had to liquidate that. Dealers hate that. They don't ever want to be in that position. And many of them are finding themselves in that position because if they're still sitting on a car that they bought 60 days ago, they paid so much more for that car 60 days ago than what they could replace it for today. In a lot of cases, by several thousands of dollars. That's a huge potential loss for a dealership. So smart dealers, wise dealers are looking at that and they're telling their used car managers, their salespeople, do whatever you need to do, take whatever type of retail deal you need to take to move this metal along. Let's get it out of here so that we can replace it with cars that are more affordable today. So instead of making $3,000 or $4,000 front end profit, maybe they'll let it go for a $500 or $1,000 front end profit. The customer wins a little bit. The dealer's happy because they didn't take a bath at the auction. And they gave their finance department the opportunity to pick up some money in the back end. Customers will find themselves with leverage and more leverage going forward.
Yeah, it's really great to see. Honestly, it's been a long time since we've had that experience. Now, let's remember, space reminding us, we are still 20 to 30% over where we should be on most pre-owned vehicles. So yes, that is spot on.
Yes.
However, if you need to buy a car, you're likely going to have a better chance negotiating on a used vehicle right now than a new vehicle. We've seen new car supply still terribly in the tanks. And quite frankly, new car prices just continue to go up. The average transaction price, we have some of that data from Cox Automotive. I mean, it's just through the roof. I mean, there's no such thing as a reasonably priced new car anymore. Nissan's average transaction price last quarter was north of $36,000. So used cars are becoming a bit more of an option. And I do think as repos make their way back to market, we'll see even more downward pressure on used car prices, which is an interesting thing.
Yep. And it's about time.
Go ahead. Yeah, it really is. I want to remind everyone, we recently launched back on the Join YAA website, and this is a helpful resource for folks. If you click on the sell tab, or if you go just to the selling page, you'll be able to see here the tool that we have from our partnership with CarWiser, where you're able to actually see quotes from all of the different buyers, dealers, online dealers. But it's not like KBB. It's not like where you get spam calls and things like that. And if you've used this, can you please comment in the chat what your experience has been like? essentially you have access to Carvana, CarMax, Echo Park, Driveway, Car Gurus, so far and so on and so forth. Phil, recently, one of our team members, he just messaged me earlier and he's like, wow, this is great. Where's this been the whole time? So I'm really excited that we have that, because I think a lot of people are going to be trying to sell cars right now, and we can help them do that and get the highest price possible, make it a little more
absolutely
convenient.
Yeah, that was a great partnership that you forged.
Thank you, Pops. Appreciate it. Why don't we switch gears and talk about Carvana for a moment here? How's that sound?
Our dear friends at Carvana.
All right, Dad. Wow, and there's a Westlake Financial ad on the page. Oh, God. All right, anyway, I'm not a huge fan of Westlake Financial. Carvana wins temporary injunction against Illinois, can resume business in state for now. The Illinois Secretary of State is forbidden from, quote, suspending or revoking Carvana's certificates of authority and dealer plates, Dad. Carvana's selling cars in Illinois again. What's going on here?
Well, the Secretary of State's office suspended Carvana's license because they were still having issues titling and registering the vehicles in the 20-day window that you have when you sell a vehicle. Carvana said, hey, you know, we're working on it. We're trying to correct it. So they went to court to get a temporary injunction against it so that they could continue to sell cars in Illinois. They got their temporary injunction. They can once again legally sell cars in Illinois. Whether or not they'll ever be able to title them in the time that's required, they're working on it. The good news is they're working. They convinced the judge they're working on it. You know, I'm working on being 5'7". That's never happened, okay? I was 5'6 and a half. I think I'm much closer to 5'6 today, but I'm still working on it. You know, so they can, at least they convinced the judge that they're working on it, but it doesn't mean they're really doing anything about it. But they can sell cars.
It was surprising to see, honestly. I thought that the state's attorney general did the right thing, and ultimately it cannot be held up, which is disappointing to see. Also, and Sean saying they donated to the judge. I don't even know if you have to donate to the judge. It's a reminder. If you've got money, you can pay enough lawyers, you can probably get things done. It's disappointing to see, Dad, in all honesty, because they're not able to get titles into people's hands. Why should they be able to sell cars? It's concerning, to say the least.
Has been, is and will continue to be concerning and a problem and an issue that they will always say they're doing their best to address, and yet they probably still won't get it done in a timely manner. Really? You gotta be kidding me.
This one really is a really, you've got to be kidding me, Dad. Headline in automotive news reads like this. Toyota unit falsified emissions data from at least 2003. Probe finds the investigative committee tasked by truck and bus maker Hino Motors blamed the scandal on an environment where engineers did not feel able to challenge superiors and a rare criticism of corporate culture in Japan. Dad, we've talked about Dieselgate. We've talked about Hyundai and Kia having their offices raided for emissions scandal. Here you go. Happening in Japan with Toyota, a unit falsified emissions data going all the way back to 2003.
It's unfortunate. Toyota owns 50.1% of Hino Motors. It's unusual in Japan, more so than in other areas, but it's obvious to me that the pressures that are brought to bear on engineers to be able to produce the emissions numbers and gas mileage standards that companies are asking for are put under such tremendous pressure that they don't feel comfortable saying to a superior, we can't get there from here. Truth and truth to power is a lost commodity in most industries. And it is for Toyota at that division, as it was for Volkswagen, as it was for Mercedes, as it was for BMW. nobody wants to hear what you can't do. So they only want to hear what you can do. And even if you can't do it, they want you to tell you they want you to tell them that you can. That's not a good way to operate. And in Japan's culture, honor is like the most important thing. I would not be surprised that people way high up in these organizations resign in shame, take their punishment, unlike what goes on in many other countries with when there's issues like this. So it's somewhat disturbing that it's even impacted a culture such as Japan's.
Let me read out. So a major affiliate of Toyota Motor Corp falsified emissions data on some engines going back to at least 2003, more than a decade earlier than previously indicated. A company-sponsored probe showed on Tuesday, and that's Hino Motors, as you mentioned, Dad. The group that they put together, the committee that they put together, essentially the outcome they yielded was they blamed the scandal on an environment where engineers did not feel able to challenge their superiors. That's the criticism of corporate culture in Japan. Mm-hmm. That committee was composed of lawyers and a corporate advisor and was set up by Hino this year after they admitted to falsifying data related to emissions and fuel performance in four of their engines. Their findings were released on Tuesday. They detail an inflexible environment where it was difficult for staff to feel, quote, psychological safety, the committee said in a report. It'll be interesting to see if there are any changes that are made, like you said, or do folks resign? And it also just puts a magnifying glass on these scandals. Like, they can happen anywhere. And quite frankly, there's probably plenty of them that we don't know about that are going on, because there is a push for perfection within these corporations, and more importantly, a push for profit. And they're likely going to push until people break, and ultimately until something gets broken in the news. And I mean, this dates all the way back to 2003. There's a long line of folks that were implicated in this. That's for sure.
Cover up is unfortunately the new norm, and we're not talking about people dressing appropriately. We're talking about hiding things that compromise the reputation of corporations, and so they would rather cover up than admit. And you know, I've always said I don't know why it's so hard to do the right thing, but apparently it is. And so because it's so difficult, many, many people choose not to do the right thing, or out of fear, don't do the right thing because they're afraid of some form of retribution. And people that want to tell the truth should be rewarded as opposed to ostracized. And that would make all corporations more accountable and probably in the long run better off if they had that type of corporate environment that would encourage truth seeking and truth to power.
We've got here from Shop Lalipa. I get notices from Carvana every day. The cars I saved have been their prices dropping $500 to $1,000. Yep, I'm not surprised to hear that. We'll continue. Also, the offers from Carvana will be going down precipitously. Tony says, hey, YA, when can you guys have Igor on one of the shows so we can talk about what he witnessed during his field trips? Igor, I actually should text you. I'll text you right after the show today, see if we can coordinate. And we've got here Dad from Mark saying, what's going on with Josh and his Grand Wagoneer with the broken axle? We gave an update on last Saturday night show back on the YAA channel. Essentially, they gave him $2,500 and said, you good? And he said, no, I'm going to raise hell. Hopefully we get another update soon. But they offered him $2,500 to essentially pay him off for all of the challenges and troubles they've given him.
And lost vacation and everything else that he had.
Terry, your site won't take my license number because it says it has to be at least 6 characters. Mine is 5. We'll look into that after the show, Terry. Thanks for mentioning it.
And you know what? I was going to say, do you know what the site would take, Terry, in lieu of your license plate number? Your 17-digit VIN.
Yep. Happy Hippo says, I tried to use the CarWiser site, the widget, but my car is a 2022, and they told me they are not there yet. Okay, I will also look into that. Happy Hippo, appreciate you guys taking a peek and sharing your feedback. Really, really do. And Igor says, Friday, I'm free for a call-in. Okay. All right, let's make it work. We can, Igor, Kimberly, Pops, myself. That'd be really fun. Oh, actually, I'm out. I can't do the Friday show. So maybe it's just the three of you. How's that sound, Pops? How's that sound, Igor?
Oh, my God. Why? How could you put that kind of pressure on me? Okay.
You can't do call-ins. I need to be there for that. Yeah, it's like a technical hurdle. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you back on Monday?
I'm back on Monday, but also maybe I could do it Friday. All right, we'll figure it out offline. How about we figure it out?
Okay, figure it out offline, because I would love to have Igor on the show. I really would.
Igor says Saturday. Yeah, why don't we do Saturday on the Ray and Zach channel? That could be on the YAA channel. That'd be great.
On the live stream.
Yes, on the live stream over on the YAA channel. We can totally do that, Igor. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
You know, maybe we'll send some Chinese food over to his house so he could eat afterwards.
maybe. All right, Pops, thanks for your time. As always, thank you everyone for being here with us. We'll be back tomorrow with more news that you can use. 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. I'm doing your job. How'd I do?
You did really good. I'm really proud of you. I'm disappointed that I didn't get to do my best radio voice at the end. But anyway, regardless of what Zach says, we'll see you all here again tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, for more news that you can use from YAA. Thanks, everybody, for being here today.
Well done, Pops. Join us again next time,
which is probably tomorrow,
to get the news you can use from YAA. YAA is your trusted source for all things auto. Thanks for listening.
See you soon.